Thank you, Wilfred. Well, good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here this morning. May we worship the Lord in spirit, in our spirits. And may we love Him in our hearts. May we have passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, He says He is the light of the world, but He's also the light of the church. And that means that we must respond to that light. We've been set free as a people of God. And He wants to give us a vision. And He wants to give us passion. And so this morning I want to turn to a different gospel, the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 17. If you will turn there with me. Actually, I'd like to read from the last verse of chapter 16. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, His brother, and led them up on a mountain by themselves. And He was transfigured or transformed before them. His face shone like the sun, and His clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with Him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If You wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for You, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While He was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly, a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, and do not be afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Now as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. We'll stop there. It was the desire of the Lord Jesus Christ to take His disciples up that mountain. It was His desire that they should see His glory and the power of the coming kingdom. When they went up, they saw a vision. They first saw the Lord glorified, clothed with His glory. And then they saw Moses and Elijah. That was significant. Because both Moses and Elijah represented both the law and the prophets that gave witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only so, but Moses and Elijah represented the saints that had gone on into glory. So we have a beautiful picture here of the kingdom, a picture of the saints in glory, of the Lord Jesus glorified, and of the saints still on earth. That is the whole kingdom. But He wanted His people that are on earth to see the glory. This was not the only mountain that Moses and Elijah had climbed. Moses had gone up Mount Sinai. There He interceded for Israel. There He prayed. Elijah went up Horeb. There He prayed. Jesus would often be found going up a mountain to pray. He took His disciples up a mountain. Now, in the old dispensation, if I may use that word, the glory that Moses brought down the mountain faded. In fact, he veiled his face. It was a decreasing glory. Elijah on the mountain seemed to have that conveyed to him, and he covered his face with his mantle. The picture here is of the glorified kingdom unveiled. But what does that mean to us as God's people? Was this a vision strictly for Peter, James, and John? Now, the Word of God is inspired. All of it is profitable. This Word here is for us who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to see who He is. In this high priestly prayer, Jesus prayed to the Father that those that the Father had given Him might see His glory and be with Him. Now, it's true that we don't see the full blazing glory now. We only see in part. But He wants us to see. He wants us to see. He wants us to see because the kingdom coming in power, the Lord being glorified, because that will give us purpose. That will give us a vision for life. And that will give us passion as we move forward. We need a vision. We need a vision individually, and we need a vision collectively as a church. I would say to the young people here, get that vision. Get it in prayer. Nurture it. It is birthed in prayer. It is a mountain of prayer. It is a walk of faith. It is received by faith. It is apprehended by faith. Then you know God's calling. You know, Samson, he had a tremendous calling. But he decided that he was going to follow his sinful nature. Now, he finished well, but he wasted his life. Now, we take a look at Daniel, a young man who decided early on in his life that he was not going to be defiled by the world. And so the world tried to change his name, but he wouldn't have none of it. He kept his identity. His identity was in Christ. So is yours. All of us need a vision from the Lord. A purpose. A calling. A high calling. Otherwise we just flounder. The scripture says that it is not in man that walks to direct his steps, but the steps of a good man, that is one of faith, are ordered of the Lord. We are to walk by faith. We are to be led of the Spirit. This is significant for us as a people of God. But God doesn't just want us to take us up the mountain. Because if you go up a mountain, you don't live there. You have to come down the mountain. And when you come down the mountain, what do you find? You find desperation and a broken humanity. That's what you find. There's a world out there that is in darkness and needs light. Jesus has left. He's in heaven. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's called us children of light. We are the light of the world today. The question is, how brightly are we shining? There is a humanity that is crying out for a Savior. We need compassion and we need passion. We need to be a people that are desperate to finish well this race. I won't stay here too long. Would you turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 1? I would like to read to you from verse 10 down to 20. I'm reading to you from the New King James Version. This is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's pointing to His person and to His glory. From verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches, which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about with the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun shining in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, Do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels, and the seven churches of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. I'm just looking for a little bit of water. I'm getting a little dry here. This is a vision that the Lord Jesus Christ... Thank you, Belly. Excuse me. This is a vision that the Apostle John saw of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he had been on the mountain, as we call it, the Mount of Transfiguration. And he had the testimony. This is significant because John had the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, that theme is throughout the book of Revelation. There are the two witnesses. Jesus himself is the true and faithful witness. This is the witness of the light. And so John repeats here that he saw. I saw. He had seen. He had been a witness. The spirit of prophecy, this book speaks of, is the witness of the testimony and the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what the risen Savior was dealing with concerning the churches. They are lampstands, but a lampstand of its own has no light. It has to have a lamp and oil before it can shine. In the holy place, in the tabernacle, was a lampstand. And the lampstand was of beaten gold. Beautiful work. One piece. Six branches. One lampstand. And there were seven lamps on it. It was a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, His beauty and His glory having been beaten into that beauty and glory. And the high priest was supposed to daily go to that lampstand and make sure that those lamps would never go out. They were to burn continuously. Not only that, but he was supposed to adjust the lamps in such a way forward so that there would be maximum light in the holy place. The holy place had no natural light. The Holy of Holies was actually quite dark. And so the light would reflect on the high priest. Actually, all the priests that ministered in the holy place would minister under that light. Otherwise, they'd be in darkness. That light shone on the high priest, on the person of the high priest. Now, of course, graphically speaking, Jesus is expressed in the lampstand that is burning. Functionally speaking, he's expressed in the high priest. Now, this was a pattern that Moses had seen on the mountain. It was a holy pattern. What is the reality of that pattern? It's you and I. You and I are the reality of that pattern. We are a priesthood. And Jesus is our high priest. And here he is dealing with the lampstands as the high priest. What is his purpose? His purpose is that the churches would burn brightly and reflect his glory. Now, he's dealing with seven. They're representative churches that are in the world today. They're not just historical. They are present representative churches in the world. And of the seven, two burn brightly. Five, not so. But each church has its place. And so the Lord reveals himself in a distinct way to each church. We can't go into all the scripture here. But only to say that he says he knows their works. He knows their works. And then he commends them for the things that are good in the church, in the body of Christ. And then he rebukes them for the things that are lacking, the sins that are going on, whether they're doctrinal or otherwise. So he calls five of the churches to repent. It was a grave word to the churches. But he had an encouragement also. Because for those that would hear what the Spirit was saying to the churches, they were given a promise. Each church was given a distinct promise that they would inherit. There was an inheritance available. This is the passion that the church must have, in that one day we will be in the presence of the Lord. Individually, will we hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? I'm just going to, you don't have to turn there, but I'm just going to read a verse in Matthew 16:27. "For the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He will reward each according to his work." The Lord is the light of the church. God commanded light to shine out of darkness. But He has shone in our hearts. What has He shone in our hearts? He has shone the glory of the knowledge of the light of the glory of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have to look to Jesus to know the glory of God. The testimony of Jesus is now being given to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There were two witnesses in the book of Revelation, and they were called the two olive trees and the two lamps, the two lampstands, because they shone brightly like John the Baptist, a burning light. He was a testimony, a bright testimony to the Son of God, to the Lamb of God that was going to take away the sins of the world. This requires the oil of the Holy Spirit. There is nothing that we can convey to the world of the Lord Jesus Christ apart from the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that will burn the light of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. We must have total dependence on the person of the Holy Spirit, individually and collectively. The oil, do you know, Moses was commanded to tell the people to bring oil of pressed olives for those lamps. The people had to bring the oil for the lamps. If the people didn't bring the oil, there would be no light, no matter what the high priest did. The New Testament calls us not to grieve the Holy Spirit, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We are vessels. We need to be filled with the oil of the Holy Spirit, that we might give testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ in the world. He will be pleased with this. There is no other way. Before I close, I must turn very briefly to a little scripture in John, which is what was down in the bulletin, John 8, because I do need to say something here as well. Just four verses, 2 and 2, 12, 13, 24, and 25. "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.' And the Pharisees therefore said to him, 'You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true.'" If you'll just jump down to verse 24. Therefore, I say to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Then they said to Him, Who are you? And Jesus said to them, Just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I believe that in the church, there are those that have been hearing the word from the beginning. But they still ask the question, Who are you of Jesus? This is grave. There must be no question as to who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Otherwise, there is no life. The Old Testament says, The soul that sins, it shall die. Jesus was grave in terms of how he responded to those that rejected him. If anyone spoke, now the theme, if I may say, of hell is not well favored today. But Jesus spoke of it quite often. We read of it some 10 or 12 times in the New Testament, in the Gospels. It is a consuming fire. It is a continuing death. He was calling men away from that judgment. He didn't come to judge. He came to veer men away from that judgment. And so those here, and sometimes they're found in the church, they resist the spirit of grace. They resist the spirit, the word of grace. This cannot be. There are those that come into the gathering of the saints and are truly seeking. And if they do seek with all their hearts, they will find. They will find the Lord Jesus Christ. If they knock, the kingdom will be open to them. We really can't pander to those that continuously resist the Spirit of grace. The prophet Ezekiel would proclaim the word of the Lord for the reason that he wanted to deliver his soul, that no blood of men would be upon his soul. Jesus is the light of the world. He's come to shine his light on the world. And he is doing it today through you and I. It's important for the church to get a collective vision as well. And I would say to the elders too, go up that mountain and pray and get a vision of direction for the church. And I would say to the church, give honor to your elders. They are responsible before the great shepherd. Do not speak against each other, but honor each other, esteem each other. This is pleasing to the Lord. Love one another. And we will be vessels filled with the Spirit of God and burning brightly with passion in our lives, with the love of God burning. And that will certainly be the greatest witness we will bear to the world. And then one day, we will come into the presence of the Lord with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Shall we close in prayer? Dear Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ has shined upon us and made you known to us. How good you are, how wonderful and kind and gracious you are. We pray, Lord, that we may, Lord, be faithful witness to the Lord Jesus Christ, that our testimony, O Lord, might be bright. So we thank you, Lord, for this day you've given us, for the word you've given us, and for your holy presence, Lord, so precious. We glorify the name of Jesus, Father. Amen.